Your Honors, may it please the Court, my name is Sean Lynch and I represent the State of Alaska. Your Honors, it's a basic tenet in NEPA law that the existence of a viable yet unexamined alternative will render an EIS inadequate. It's an equally foundational principle that agencies need only examine a reasonable range of alternatives. The issue before the Court today is whether the proposed alternatives submitted by the plaintiff groups, SEAC, whether this alternative was a viable yet unexamined alternative, or was it just one of a myriad of ways that falls within the spectrum of alternatives examined by the agencies.
Well, let me focus a little more precisely. Are you saying that what SEAC says is the alternative that was not examined was examined, or are you saying that it was one of something that was sort of so ephemeral that it didn't have to be examined?
Your Honor, and I can answer both. All of the components of the SEAC, of the alternative proposed by SEAC, were examined by the agencies. And
where will you find that, in the no-action portion?
If you look at each of the specific components, so let's take the...
What do you mean by components? Because we're talking about...
Yes, I'll give you an example. Well, this is the improvements that we're talking about is improvements to a transportation system. There are many moving parts here. This is the ferries. So a component that I'm speaking of, the one where the SEAC alternative gets its greatest capacity, is using the mainliner ferries after their decommissioning date. That component, which is really the cornerstone of the proposal, that was examined. It was proposed in the draft EIS. This isn't a new proposal. It was actually tested in 1997 and 98, and this is in Appendix A to the EIS, is the alternatives report of all the alternatives examined. It was run in 97, 98. The 1999 alternatives, the alternatives analysis examined that and determined that for the marginal increase in service, it was not cost effective. It was much too expensive to operate, primarily because of the two crews that it requires. That is found in the EIS in Chapter 2, the discussion in the EIS of the alternatives. The second component to increase capacity is the taking service from fast ferry service from the community of Sitka and moving that service into Lynn Canal. That type of alternative, the taking service from another to the detriment, taking service to the detriment of another community, was also considered by the agencies. And the agencies set it as a ground rule that was not a reasonable alternative that was to be considered in this EIS analysis.
I got the impression, at least from some of the materials, that it wasn't either or. In other words, you could use those Sitka ferries, but you'd perhaps reduce service in some way.
What is happening here is there is redeployment of ferries. The balancing of AMHS assets, it happens as part of a functioning system. You have ships break down and the assets are, and ships are moved around within the system. The no action alternative is a snapshot that is taken in 2005. AMHS assets or AMHS efficiencies, the AMHS system at that time. That recognizes this rebalancing. What AMHS didn't do in 2005, it doesn't do now, and is not considered in the EIS, is remove ferry service from one community to stack it onto another. That was never considered reasonable and remains.
And that is unreasonable because?
Because it would deprive the system.
See, that's the... It's stated, if I understand what you're saying, and what I understood from the case, that saying that it was kind of stated as a given that we're not going to shift service from one place in order to provide more service to Haynes or wherever it is we're trying to provide more service to.
And as Chapter 1 of the EIS explains, the ferry, the AMHS ferries are running at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, except when they're in layup or maintenance. And the new fast ferries, there are two fast ferries, those run on 12-hour schedules because that's what they're designed for. But the system operates to its maximum capacity at all times. The system also, Chapter 1 of the EIS, explains the interplay between the Lynn Canal Corridor and the rest, the other 27 ports of the AMHS system. And so, yes, to pull, if you think of a ferry as a bridge replacement, to improve a bridge to one community, it is not a reasonable alternative to pull the bridge from another. It is not, and here, it's not a transportation system management measure to deprive another community.
Well, I guess I'm not understanding. I can understand as a policy matter that you may not want to, political matter, you may not want to take away or diminish service to one area. But as an environmental question of if you're going to improve service to one area, you seem to be saying, but we're not going to consider diminishing the service of the other in order to accomplish that. And I don't understand as a matter of environmental law or the general principle that you consider all alternatives that you can do that. Because that's what's troubling me.
Yeah, if I may, just the geography. We cannot isolate communities. So this is the, and Chapter 1 explains how the ferry system is balanced within the communities, that it operates full time. There is no excess capacity to pull from other communities. All the communities need access.
Is there consideration given of increasing capacity? I mean, one of the things I went through here, and it struck me, is that there certainly is an argument with regard to how many round trips you can get out of the capacity, and that I don't begin to understand how those calculations are made. But the one thing that did strike me is that these other alternatives include substantial expenditure for highway or new ferry terminals. And I didn't see anything that explored the possibility, okay, if you can't rob Peter to pay Paul and take it from Sitka, is there something you could do to increase the capacity so without building roads and increasing the number of ferry terminals, you can, by increasing the ferry capacity, solve this problem, or at least identify that as an alternative?
The ferries are a set size, and they run, because of the distances they're running, they can only run within...
But they're not, too. You can buy other ferries. The state has.
And, Your Honor, that's exactly where, if you look at the spectrum, and the greatest visual aid I have for looking at the spectrum of alternatives, Table 223, I reprinted it on page 21 of the brief.
I've got a tab. Look at it
all. What the agencies have done here, if you look at the spectrum of proposals, you have alternative one was the no-action alternative. This is the snapshot of 2005, the agency operations. The next step up is buying new ferries. You have no roads, no new terminals, is alternatives 4C and 4A. If you look at just that first line, you double capacity with new ferries. You have the least impact that you can have. You look down at the bottom in the last line, the 30-year life cycle cost, you've bumped this up about $50 million. Double capacity with $50 million. And if I can explain just the rest of the spectrum, alternatives 4B and 4D is building a 5-mile road to the nearest deep water port. It actually cuts off in a round trip 50 miles because it is 5-mile extension to existing roads. Alternative 3 is it's over just over 35-mile road with new ferries, and then 2B, a 50-mile road. That is our spectrum. If you look at the 30-year life cycle cost, these bump up about, the first jump is the biggest, $50 million over 30-year time. Then they go up at $15, $20 million increments from there, not necessarily correlating with the increased capacity. But what we do know is the proposal to run the mainliners as shuttle ferries increases costs. Just the reconditioning of the vessel, changing it from a mainliner vessel to a shuttle ferry, costs 40% of the price of building a new ferry. That only runs it out to its decommissioning date. There are still costs beyond that. We also know that it runs 2 crews. So we do have an increased cost, which puts you, and using the plaintiff's numbers, you actually have an increased capacity. But with that increased cost and increased capacity, it puts you right near alternative 1. You're at really alternative 1.5. But the agencies, when you have a spectrum, there are thousands of ways that the agencies could have looked at this. Instead of a 5-mile road, it could have been a 3-mile road. Instead of 2 ferries, 1 ferry. Instead of 2, they could have built 3. But the agencies have to pick points, representative points on the spectrum. And that's what NEPA requires, is that they decide a reasonable range, and the public is able to, and the agencies are able to then look at this range and actually have an intelligent, informed conversation within the range. The CF proposal, each of the components were studied, and they fall within the range. And, Your Honor, I'm sorry, but I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Hey, you may. Good.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Kate Glover, and with me at council table is my colleague Eric Jorgensen. We're here representing the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council and the other plaintiffs' appellees. As counsel for the state has stated, there are thousands of ways that the state could have looked at improving ferry service in Wind Canal, but the one thing they didn't do is look at improving service using existing boats and existing ferry facilities. And because they didn't do that, they've created an environmental impact statement that creates a false choice between, on the one hand, reduced service that the state's project manager called not very good service, and on the other hand, alternatives that require substantial construction and therefore have significant costs both economically and environmentally. But I don't really get to.
I hear counsel's presentation to suggest the contrary, that if you look at Chapter 2 of the EIS on alternatives and also some references in Chapter 1 and what he said today, they specifically considered, in effect, taking service from Sitka and determined that that was not a viable choice. What more needs to be done here?
Well, Your Honor, I think what Chapter 1 looks at is what the ferry system has looked like in the past. It doesn't look at what does the ferry service look like right now today and what could we do with what we have to try to do a better job providing service to and from Juneau. And so that doesn't serve the purposes of NEPA. What the agency's obligation is to consider in an environmental impact statement what they've got and the different alternatives to improve that so that the agencies and the public can make an informed decision comparing the costs and benefits of the different alternatives.
But how can you say a ferry service which is serving other parts of Southeast constitute available resources, which is all that NEPA requires?
Well, I think there's two responses to that. First, I'll address the question of available resources. The provision that the state has relied on which is Section 42 U.S.C. 4332E, doesn't restrict the consideration of alternatives in the way the state has argued. And, in fact, the state hasn't been able to cite to a single case where the court interprets it that way. Subsection E, as this court held in Bob Marshall, Alliance versus Hobell, which is cited on page 28 of plaintiff's brief, interprets that obligation to expand the obligation to consider alternatives so that when an agency doesn't have to complete an environmental impact statement, it still has to consider alternatives. So anytime it's considering proposing an action using where there's conflicts over resources, they have to consider alternatives. But the second point I would make is that if the state's interpretation were correct, the only alternative they would have to consider here is one that uses existing boats. The other alternatives all rely on funding that the state doesn't have and boats and roads that haven't even been built. And the court has regularly required agencies to consider alternatives that even would involve things beyond the agency's jurisdiction or that might require legislative authorization. Legislative changes. But the second and I think the more important point is with respect to the question of the justification that using the existing boats to improve service would reduce service elsewhere. The state has argued either that that's a reasonable assumption or has argued that the information plaintiffs have relied on is outdated. But the fact is that in both the environmental impact statement and the record of decision, it's very clear that the other alternatives the agencies did consider would also have the potential to reduce service elsewhere. And first, I would point the court to pages 494 and 513 of the excerpts of record. On those pages, where the agencies are looking at alternatives requiring the construction of new ferry boats, the agencies state, these alternatives would place an additional funding burden on AMHS, and that's the ferry system, which could have negative impacts on other AMHS service. But the agencies still considered these alternatives in the environmental impact statement. So if it was reasonable to consider these four alternatives...
I think it's being very different to say that there are economic ripples on one hand to say that we're taking the boat away from Sitka on the other. There is a very direct absence of service to Sitka if the boat is not used for the trips that otherwise are scheduled there.
Your Honor, I think it's important to note that we're not talking about cutting off a bridge and moving it somewhere else. What we're talking about here is there's a variety of ways that you could look at improving service with existing boats. One might be taking boats that are currently operating south of Lynn Canal and extending the trip to also provide better service into Juneau. Or it might mean running boats more frequently in Lynn Canal. So it might mean that you take away service once a week from another community, but it doesn't mean that you completely deprive another community of the ability to get anywhere at all. It might also mean, as I believe Judge Clifton pointed out, maybe there's ways to increase service by, for example, looking at whether there's a large increased capacity, by looking at whether there's a larger boat that's serving another community that could instead be swapped for a boat that's in Lynn Canal right now.
Well, now, the district court said that the state didn't look at these alternatives, I gather, in the way that it should have looked at them. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, in the EIS, can you point me, it said that because there was no analysis of it, there was a kind of a summary. As I understand what the district court was faulting the state for, was that there was kind of a summary rejection, is that?
Yes.
Can you tell me in the EIS where the inadequate analysis is?
I believe what you're referring to is where the district court was pointing to the description of the no-action alternative.
Yeah.
And that's in both the environmental impact statement and the record of decision. I think the page that you're looking for is page 251 of the excerpts of record, where the agencies state that reassigning vessels to Lynn Canal could be reviewed as a form of transportation system management, but because it would be at the expense of service elsewhere, it is not considered.
And that's the only reason given for it's not being considered?
That's the only reason that's given right there.
Isn't that enough?
Not when all of the other alternatives that were considered have that effect. And that's
why should that follow? We're not sitting here to decide what's the best solution to this problem for the state of Alaska. Our job is to determine whether the environmental impact statement was completed sufficiently to comply with federal statutes and regs. And it seems to me all they need to do is to consider, which it seems to me they did.
It never took, the agencies never in the environmental impact statement or in the marine studies that the state refers to, never actually looked at what was available to the system and whether there were ways to use it to improve service in Wind Canal.
Well, then where did Mr. Lynch go wrong in what he stated to us a few minutes ago? It seems to me that's exactly what was going on.
I think what you're referring to is his statement regarding the summaries in the environmental impact statement of what has happened in the past in Wind Canal. But additional boats have been added to, within the ferry system.
Wasn't there some analysis going on in all of that?
The portion of the environmental impact statement in chapters 1 and 2 describes the history of the ferry system. It talks about the state getting its first boats in the 1960s and adding boats to the system over time. So those changes reflect that, if the agencies had taken a snapshot of service 10 years ago when they started the environmental impact statement and when they first did their marine studies, well, then they wouldn't even be looking at the boats that they've got today, and so the options they have now are not available. They're not things that could be done. It doesn't look at fast flares. It doesn't look at other things. So what the environmental impact statement does is just gives you a history of what has happened with the ferry service system since it started. But there's nowhere that the agencies actually lay out what are the boats that we have today at the time we're making the decision, where are they serving in Southeast Alaska, and where could we put them? What could we do with Lynn Canal to provide more service?
Well, and when he talks about the testing they did in 1997, 1998, why isn't that responsive to your point?
If you look at the page that he cited in there, and I apologize, I don't have the page in front of me right now, but that's actually talking about an alternative, something else that was suggested entirely. On that page, I think it's referring to the Malaspina, and a suggestion to build two ferry terminals, one in Berners Bay and one at the Katsahin.
Malaspina is the name of the ferry?
It's the name of the ferry, I apologize. So the proposal was to actually build two ferry terminals and use that boat as a shuttle between the two of them. That's something that the agencies decided wasn't reasonable, but it's not the same thing as looking at whether you could run that boat or some other boat as a shuttle between the terminal that already exists in Juneau and those in Haines and Skagway. So it's entirely different. Moreover, I'd say that the decision the agency is making today is a question of whether they need to build new roads, new boats, or keep on using the existing boats. But they haven't described an alternative that looks at improving service. And so there's no way to compare an alternative that does a better job, provides better service, increased capacity and flexibility, but doesn't have the significant environmental effects or costs of the alternatives that were considered. So,
I now work for the government. I've come to know uphand how inefficient government can be. So I accept the proposition there's some room to squeeze out of existing resources additional capacity. But I have to say it's hard for me to believe you can really squeeze out the additional capacity that your brief has discussed just by using existing resources without the Rob Peter to PayPal factor. And I am troubled by the notion of, well, we can, for the time being, disregard Sitka or send them a vote once a week. They'll just have to make do and take the resources without having to factor that into the consideration somehow. And politically, it's probably impossible. I don't know Alaska politics, but I know in my island state, if you decide to take capacity away from one island, you're going to hear about it for a long, long time. So why is that defined as a realistic alternative to produce sufficient capacity increase? And why should we assume there's that much capacity to squeeze out just by redeploying the existing resources?
Well, first of all, there's nowhere in either the EIS or in the state's arguments that suggests that improving service, that using existing boats couldn't meet the purposes of the project, which is, I think, what you're getting at. They haven't argued that you can't, and the alternative that SEAC proposed as just an example of the type.
Let me stop you there, because that may be what's driving this, and yet the state does argue that what they define as no action, which doesn't perhaps squeeze out the efficiency, winds up coming up with, I think the number is like 14% of what they project to be the demand come some future year. And if you look at the chart that they have pointed us to and that I've been looking at from time to time, it is clear that the no action alternative doesn't produce the capacity that all of the other alternatives produce. Your efficient use of existing resources alternative isn't defined in quite the same way, but in some place in your brief you talk about being able to produce something like 23 round trips a week as opposed to 15 round trips a week. I mean, I don't hear anything that suggests you're going to get anything like the kind of capacity increase that the state argues you get through the alternative it chose. And the state argues that the alternative it chose is aimed at achieving the capacity demand which they project for the year 20, whatever it is, in the future. So you have to put the pieces together, but in fact I think I do hear the state arguing that it's considered this alternative and it simply doesn't produce enough capacity to meet the demand that they project.
Well, first, it's not the case that you have cars sitting in the parking lot of the ferry terminal just waiting to go. The demand numbers that are used in the environmental impact statement are just estimates based on the state's prediction of who might want to travel if someone built a road all the way through. So these are not numbers of, it's not the case that you have overcapacity on a highway. It's just a guess as to how many people would ideally like to travel. But the other point is that the no-action alternative that you've referred to is, as it states very clearly in both the environmental impact statement and record of decision, a reduced capacity alternative. That's not even the level of capacity that we have today on the ferry service in Lynn Canal. It's worse.
For reasons that are predefined, in particular the decommissioning of I think it's the two vessels that have reached what was previously defined as their useful life. I don't see that as being contrived. I mean, it appears to be a fact of life. Vessels do have useful lives. You may want to keep running them forever, but there are limits. And so how do we assume that out of existence? How do we not say that, look, if they've decided years ago that the useful life is going to end here, that's why I start talking in terms about additional capacity, acquiring new ferries and so forth, and the state argues that, in fact, they did look at that alternative and points toward alternatives, I think it was 4A and 4C.
Those alternatives, 4A and 4C, still require building new boats. They're not alternatives that don't require construction.
That's sort of my point. I mean, if ships at the end of their useful life, aren't they going to have to build new boats? Aren't they going to have to build a new boat or acquire additional capacity if they're not going to rob Sitka in order to feed Juneau? Isn't that a fair analysis of the alternatives that are realistic?
I think the point is that because the state and the agencies didn't try to improve service with existing boats, we really don't know what level of capacity we could meet.
If I understand what is said, it says reassigning vessels to Lynn Canal could be reviewed, but unlike more typical TSM measures, this would be at the expense of service elsewhere. For this reason, there is no alternative that in the supplemental draft EIS that would study reassigning vessels. And isn't that what the district court faulted here, that they just asserted that it would take them away without studying the effect of it?
That's correct. And with respect to that, I'd like to very quickly point to the state to some statements in the EIS and the record of decision that basically acknowledge that building a road will also deprive other communities of service. At page 412 of the excerpts of record, the EIS shows that the preferred road alternative would reduce revenues by 30% from the action alternative, as well as increase costs substantially. Now, in the record of decision, at pages 113 and 114 of the excerpts of record, it very clearly states that the annual operating costs after revenues are taken into account for the preferred alternative would be more than $1 million over the cost for no action.
Far over time.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just need to make a clarification. I believe it was Justice Clifton. You had stated taking service from Sitka was analyzed in the EIS, and actually taking service from Sitka, or the detrimental, not allowing detrimental redeployments, was a limitation in the EIS. It was actually the record of decision because the proposal came after the final EIS. So it was in the record of decision where there's a finding that taking vessels from Sitka was not reasonable. Just a quick clarification.
Because
the AMHS provides service to the entire southeast, and the vessels operate at capacity. And that's, which is the, in citing the record of decision. There was a suggestion that maybe if we had two snapshots, well, in this case, because it's expanded over 14 years, we do have two snapshots. The draft EIS was a snapshot of 1996. The comments that are primarily in the plaintiff's briefs and that are cited at the district court level, those are comments on the alternatives in the draft EIS. There was those comments that spurred the agencies to look for these efficiency improvements, these optimization measures. So the 2005 snapshot is a far different snapshot than the one a decade before. If you look at the EIS includes all of the responses, the comments, and in the record of decision you have, like, EPA's comments are in the record of decision. The concerns from 1996, you did not, the concerns are no longer spoken. The agencies did exactly what both commenters and other commenting agencies asked them to look at, and it is incorporated in the 2006 or 2005 snapshot.
Counsel, what's your response to opposing counsel's response to your point that the references in Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 are just mere history? They're not part of this in that analytical process that you're supposed to be going through.
Well, the EIS serves the purpose of explaining the system. So it does lay out a history, but it also gives the snapshot. So it does both, and which is the purpose of the EIS, to have informed discussions, informed decisions. So yes, the history is laid out, but it states at present time they're operating 24 hours a day, with the exception of, at that time, the new fast ferry that's designed for 12.
Well, where in the EIS, maybe it's in the no-action alternative, but where in the EIS is there a recital that, yes, you considered the possibility of moving the ferries around or changing schedules or whatever? In other words, the point your opposing counsel is making, where would that be, even if it's cursorily discussed?
And since the EIS is a snapshot and it explains what's going on, this is the movements of the vessels as they are of that date and through the history is recognized in the no action alternative. So the improved service that you see, the more frequent round trips, that is part of the redeployment and shuffling of vessels.
Yeah, but is that, in other words, that's where it was considered and rejected?
Oh, no, and the EIS itself, if you look at the next paragraph down where in the description of the no-action alternative, and I think this is page 251, when it says the detrimental redeployment will not be considered, the next paragraph down says AMHS will continue to deploy different vessels, including new vessels added to the system. This is still examined all the time. This is the no-action, cure no-action alternative is fluid because it's a ferry system and things change. But it is a snapshot of that fluid system.
Thank you.
Thank you. The matter just argued is submitted for decision. And we'll hear the next case on the calendar, which is Probert versus Family Centered Services of Alaska.